pause.
You've heard of Kirlin photography. And all of you say, well, I hold my hand up there, and I can't see auras, and I can't see light, and yes, I believe that they can do this. I want to give you a little hint. Go in the twilight, or in a room where you don't have much more than just a candle light. You don't want it dark. To see the Kirlin light or electricity off your hand, dark is not where to see it. Now that may seem very strange to you, but it truly isn't. Because it will come off in a blue-white light. So you want light. You don't want to put your hand against a black background. But to begin to be able to see this, put your hand in front of your face with a light background. A white sheet or something. Bend over and put your hand between you and your sheet, if your sheet is white or light colored. Anything a little bit lighter than your hand, because you want to be able to see it. And then focus maybe 6 inches beyond that hand so that your eyes are out of focus. You're not focusing on your hand. This gets to be the hardest thing to do, because your eyes want to tend to focus right back. And the minute you see the flame shoot off your fingers, whammo, right back on the hand. So you've got to practice at it. But you leave that hand with your eyes focused. And this can be anything that you want to look at to find an aura. Whether it be a person, a leaf, focus beyond it. I call it the 6-inch non-focus. Look through the hand out here to some 6 inches, 8 inches focus point beyond the hand, and just leave it there for a little while. First you will see an aura, and then you will literally see the flames. And after you get a little better at it, you can put your fingers up there and you can see the little electricity, the little light move from finger to finger. Some can get in front of a mirror and they can see it in the mirror. But what I have found in trying to get people to be able to see this is that if you get a mirror, first thing you know, you're focusing on the reflection in the mirror and you're missing the show anyway. Now, when you are in the dark, and especially you would be able to notice this if you were putting this lotion all over you, where you know that you are dealing with these higher frequencies. Go on to bed, turn out your lights, whatever, and just put your hand and arm. Let us say you put this lotion and stuff, whatever, all the way up to your elbow. It's going to be creepy. It is not like it comes on like a neon sign, but you just put your hand with this stuff on it in front of you. And before long, it isn't like it gives off light. It is almost like a white or a light fluff exuding kind of from you. And at first you will think, my eyes are just playing tricks. I remember, you know, the vision impressed on your eyes. I am looking and I know that my hand is there. And so this is something with my eyes. No, it is not something with your eyes. And it is basically the same frequency that allows a cloud to form around a craft. You're getting on up now into the frequencies that will produce that vision of vapor. And you better keep your stomach, you know, kind of settled down, because you'll almost feel like your hand is disappearing in this mush. And I know that all of you are expecting to light up like a light bulb. It isn't like that. It will be, you know, it can get as thick as an inch around. And it isn't quite like an aura. An aura is an entirely different thing. But there will be this sense almost of fluff almost living fluff. You'll see it kind of moving around. So check it. Have a little fun with it. Because this is what you will want to become one day. Capable of looking at someone. And you see, most people go and they look too hard. I'm going to see your aura. So help me. Aura is something, yes, some can literally just look at and say, oh, orange, red, yellow, black, blue, whatever. But it is a sense of energy. And of course, those colors coming off. And this is why in the meditation, or what I call the clearing tape with Dorma, as we took her through that, we wrote the script for it. We call in first the pink, which is a soft love frequency. And then we use the violet. And then there move on into a quietness of the blue frequency. That's calm. That's soft. That's pleasant. But it is also where the mind remains alert. And then with the violet, you see, you have reached the higher frequencies of transmutation. That's where it begins, to transmute things. And you can go beyond that. But to sense it, you will more or less get a flickering of it. Oh, my goodness, come back and try that again. It's like sighting a craft. And it's gone. And you say, well, just come on back a little bit and try it again and I'll look. So you try very desperately to figure it out. And each day that you live in this environment and your energy is increasing, you'll just notice that you handle the noise in your ears better and you're able to cast aside all these pulses that are being thrown at you. And pretty soon, you get focused on something else and you don't pay much attention. I mean, I watch all of you now. When we first started this, everybody lived outside at night staring at the sky until you got cricks in your neck and complained all the next day. Now I can't even get you out to look if I want to make a show. So understand that you're growing. You're growing, outgrowing the silly things and realization of the wonder of life. And we don't need guns. We really don't need guns. We need truth and we need information. And you need to be able to release that which cannot abide in this higher cause. And you have to understand that each individual has its own contract or mission. And therefore, it's very difficult for us to judge what another may be doing or why that other may have to have the gun. But I don't have to have a gun. I don't have a gun aboard craft. And there are plenty of craft out around your place now with guns. But then I don't need a gun for a laser. I make my own. And I've been known to use it. There aren't very many in my command that will tell you I'm a wimp. And I like, and this really bothered Leon, I know. But anything created can be uncreated, and I'm very good at it. And I'm getting a little fed up with some of those who prefer to get in the way of my creation. We have a job to do, and I'm getting just a little miffed off and irritated. But we've already got them set back 2 years, and they did it to themselves. So we know that they know they cannot produce Plan 2000 until at least 2002, if everything goes right. So we're gaining. So I suggest you just go home, turn off the lights, and look at yourself. Anything from anyone? I thank you.
Thank you.
We have a question back.
Speak.
Would you use the mic, please?
I was wondering the connection between.
Wait, just a minute.
Hold on.
The ones who get the tapes. That's not fair. They don't hear.
I was wondering if you could explain a little better the connection, the frequency. The frequency connection and the connection to your lymphatic system. And you were talking about the frequency. Does that activate or jumpstart your lymphatic system as a human format?
The frequency? I do not understand your question. I'm sorry.
I'm wondering if the frequency enhancement that you're talking about, does that have a direct effect on the human lymphatic system?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And anyone with Hodgkin's disease had better get on the colloid.
Thank you.
You see, we have a problem. Any time that you introduce something like this, you will have found that with colloidal silver, for instance, it'll take out the cancers, the HIV virus. I mean, it negates them. It cleans them out, neutralizes them. And the lymph system is very prone, you know, to pick up all of these little infections. That's why you get the little lumps, the lymphocytes, leukocytes. These are your immune system fighters. They are the cells, the blood cells, the lymph cells that literally go and encounter the invader. And this is why with an ongoing infection, you very frequently with, you know, flu or bad colds, upper respiratory infections, your lymph nodes will swell. And, of course, you're very prone to something called Hodgkin's disease. And that is a lymph cancer. Those are mutant cells. And silver, colloidal silver, is known to take it out. So you bet.
Commander?
Yes?
I would like to ask, when a person sees colors, rainbow colors, moving, are you more likely to see them around places of service like hospitals, post offices, etc.? I was just curious if these would show more around those areas.
Well, you might find them in hospitals. I'm not sure about post offices.
Well, it just seemed to be in
that
area.
I understand what you mean, in the where someone is serving.
Yes.
I don't know. I think maybe if you have an opportunity, you may be paying more attention.
Close.
Thank you.
Confound. We need to share the joke with her.
It's too delicate for 3D.
Worst nightmare.
Is it on now?
It's on. Push the button. Push it up.
I have a question, maybe two, if you're open to it.
I can handle two.
Number one,
but this is going to get out of control. It reminds me of Dorma after Wally made that statement. I mean, I'm having trouble with her still. She keeps saying, yeah, I guess you're swelled up, aren't you, big boy? Your bride is swelled up, too. Big bloat.
Maybe we should explain.
Would someone else like to say something before?
Yeah. Well, you missed the television thing. The poor man from, I mean, this tiny little man, you know, he's so sick from the Gulf War. And Wally's sitting there watching, and there was a picture of him with his bride, and she's a little heavy, but
he,
no wait. Now wait, we are not being insensitive, because it was just such a perfect thing that he couldn't resist, and it took a second for it to hear, you know, to be heard. And it was one of those double take things where this man is talking about his symptoms and how miserable he is, and this swelled up and that swelled up, and Wally says, and his bride swelled up and truly had, you know, probably 300 pounds more. So it was perfect, and it's not to put anybody down. It was just one of those perfect things.
Well, this is off the subject then.
I certainly do hope so.
After I wrote, or about the time I wrote about the Fatima prophecy and the large spaceship that was seen during those episodes, I believe you said something to the effect that that large spaceship was a golden color.
Yes.
Was that the phoenix?
That was the Bethlehem.
The Bethlehem.
Yes. That was the phoenix, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
no, it was the Bethlehem changed it to the phoenix.
Okay. Oh. Okay, so it's your ship that...
No.
No.
Commander Picard.
You have to understand. And let me refresh you a little bit. Let's just not even consider what my command ship was, because my command ship is now under the command of Commander Leah. Mm. And this energy form, most of you got to know very, very early on. Leah was my right arm while we began these training sessions. And as we moved into the first part of the cycle, Isu has command of what was called the Bethlehem. And that's why that craft, that ship, that sun, if you will, that sun carried the sun. And this is all linguistics, but don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And it is golden in color. It is a Christ color. You have the golden ray, the silver ray. The silver ray of creation, which is a blue-silver ray. The golden ray of the Christ then will merge. But in all viewings of what you're going to call a religious nature that is attached to what would be sent as a vision to given people, and always with the image of the Blessed Mary, whether or not that being ever existed does not matter. That is what is expected to be seen. And usually attached to that will be a golden sun, a golden star, whatever you want to call that craft. That did not exist at the time the visions were being sent, at the time of the birth or the presentation of the babe child. Now, whether that's myth or a bad tale, a good dream, a bad vision, that is utilized to send messages now to people. And what was there at the Star of Bethlehem was not the Bethlehem ship, but that was a silver star of Gabriel's. Everybody hear me? Gabriel is the one who brought the Christ child, the seed, if you will. So if you're going to say that this young Isu, Emmanuel, was the son of anybody, he was the son, the seed line of Gabriel. And that was a silver white star, massive, because it was close. The Christ will always be represented in the golden star, and you will be able to still see that original ship as the phoenix evolved and we merged the team. So I have the captaincy, if you will, of what was the Bethlehem, but you'll still see it, and it is a golden star, and it never changes color. And it, just check it out. It will always be in the heavens. It's sort of like your North Star. It won't go away. It will always be somewhere in your heavens at night where you can see it at night. And it's very definitely yellow.
Did you say your ship was golden?
No. I said... Sananda's ship is golden. And it was called the Bethlehem. When the ships, when the team merged, no, my ship is not. My ship is as multicolored rainbow as you can get. Because it represents Pleiades. Or it represents Pleiades' fleet. But what I'm trying to tell you is that Isu Emmanuel, who traveled the ship Bethlehem, now travels on this ship called Phoenix. And that was not my ship. It is now my ship.
Oh, ship.
Would you like me to change?
And I'm going back to my ship.
No ship.
In line with that golden ship, I have another question. Michael Scallion and his tapes, I believe it was May 5th tapes or May 9th with Art Bell, said that in the future he sees the earth in very calm and with two suns. And he was questioned about the one sun, where did it come from? He said, well, it's like a star, it comes from outside our galaxy. My question is that
Liberty.
The Phoenix?
Liberty.
Or is it a two suns? Different.
Nora, I knew one day. It's close enough.
It's close enough.
We have to go all the way back to Wormwood and the early writings and Herculobus and yes and no. It will be very definitely a sun. It will be your standby passage. And I believe that you will remember from a long time ago, I told you that if there became necessary a removal of God's people from this place, and this is why, you see, in the Bible, remember, God did not write the Bible. Men wrote the Bible, and they wrote it to suit their needs. And they warned you of the planet of bitterness, which would come upon the world and all its wickedness, the world's wickedness, not the planet. That's the enemy of God's enemy. And that's us. And you better believe it. And there will come a time when it will be visible, two suns for 7 days that will be unmistakable. And whether we have to land on the place or whether you can get your ship together remains to be seen. But there will be a period of time where you will have a great calm upon your land because you're not going to have a lot of choice about it. And I don't think I want to talk any more about it. I didn't want to talk about it at all now.
Thank you.
Well, Commander, the golden entity in the skies we can see at night is in different places relative to the other stars. It's not always the same place.
No, it usually is traveling with the same stars, but it's... I don't know how to describe it from your vantage point.
Thank you.
But look around. It'll be up there in the early darkness, it will usually be off to, let's see, it would be your south, maybe. A little more southeast than... It sticks right out. It isn't that much larger. It's just...
Does it blend with gold?
Yes, but it will never change colors. It will always be gold. Where you look at the other craft, they will change colors. Corton's craft never changes from silver. And Corton's craft will always be almost directly above.
You can see it directly above here at the hatch?
Yes. But it's far enough out there, you can see it from anywhere you are. Any other terrible questions?
I have a terrible question. Commander? Yes, sir.
It's not. I promise you, Commander, it's a
That's
terrible
all right.
question.
But
well, I'm just curious.
He wants to make me look bad, but he hasn't been around, so we can just laugh at him. We all know the answer before he asks it.
When you're getting close to a spacecraft, and if you don't have that kind of similar frequency level, do you experience some kind of dizziness or getting sleepy or...
When I or you?
Me.
I don't know what you mean. If you were going to get close to a spacecraft, where would you be?
No. How should I say it? What makes you... Okay, why is it that you feel... Okay. What is the cause of the dizziness that you feel or some kind of... You feel so sleepy?
Well...
Is it because of the frequency difference?
When you are...
close to a spacecraft.
Sit down. And listen.
Okay.
There are many ways that you ones get close to a spacecraft. One is when you come aboard. If you are capable of making that transition in a light beam or in a... dispersed form, you're not going to be conscious of much of anything, and therefore when you reassemble you may have a sense of dizziness or confusion. I don't like the term dizziness as such, but almost and always a lightheadedness, always. That is part of the reassembly, and that will pass. On the other hand, if you are in the middle of research or something where you are coming and going, you may very well be in almost a state of anesthesia. So I don't know what you are trying to get from me. There is an incredible amount of energy that comes off of a ship. We have to always alter that frequency to accommodate humans. And this is why all this abduction garbage is exactly that. It is garbage. And most of those encounters are not with aliens as such, but from off your place. Now, a craft will usually land or get very near the Earth so that you're not hampered by having to go a great distance in anything. And most of the immobilization comes not because you're being held captive, but because as you get into a beam of light, you become a part of the light, and that immobilizes you. But always... You